It's Monday morning. Today is the 24th of February, 2020. And I want to welcome aboard both those on Facebook and those on YouTube this morning. The title this morning is, Who Shall Lay Anything to the Charge of God's Elect? You can find that in Romans 8:13, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. You know, we can talk about a lot of things. Good morning, Troy. Good to see you this morning. We can talk about a lot of things, but I'm glad to know that God is my justifier. God is the one who justified me. He took my sins upon himself. Some people describe justification as just as if I'd never sinned. But he took his sins upon him, on himself. He became my sin bearer. And he went to the cruel and rugged cross of Calvary for me. I hope that every one of us can say that this morning. And so he's the one that justifies us through his blood. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather that is risen again, who's even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Wow, we should be shouting happy over that. Virtually nothing can separate the child of grace from God's love. Welcome aboard, Nang Khan Mung. Glad to have you with us this morning. You know, there's all of this talk about the coronavirus. They've named it a new name now. But the coronavirus, how it is taking hundreds of thousands of people's lives, getting close to it anyway. It's an epidemic, a plague. There were many plagues in the Old Testament, and there will be many plagues, according to Revelation, in the future. Right before Christ comes back. But you know something? We don't have to worry about any of that because we are going home. And regardless of what comes on the earth and regardless of how God chooses for us to die, for we're all going to die if Christ doesn't come back first, you know, that's the human condition. People make a big deal over all of these things, cancer and all these diseases and all these plagues and viruses and everything else. But you know what? What difference does it make? Excuse me, we're all going to die. the great thing is what we have to look. Welcome aboard, Leon Kennedy. Good to see you this morning. If you are a child, and you and I are a child of grace, we have great consolation. Great consolation. Probably one of the most comforting passages in the whole Bible is in the 8th chapter of Romans. What great, great consolation that this chapter gives us. The Apostle Paul starts out by saying, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Verse 11, but if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies. You know, we'll have two quickenings. The first quickening is when we were born again of God. The second quickening is when our mortal bodies are going to be quickened. That's what it says in verse 11. Christ, if the Spirit from him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. And then he says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. One of these days, we're going to receive our glorified bodies. Welcome aboard, Jawara Manachaz Seraphim. Glad to have you with us. Do you believe that you're going, do you believe in the resurrection? It's no big deal for Christ to give us glorified bodies because he is omnipotent. He's all powerful. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Isn't that beautiful? His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. What does it mean to be an heir? What does it mean to be an heir? Just think of that, being an heir of God. What a marvelous thought to be an heir of God. We are told in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. We've been predestinated unto adoption to be an heir of Jesus Christ. Well, he says that saved by hope, verse 21, but hope that is seen is not hope, but what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Welcome aboard, James Remont. Glad to have you with us this morning. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Jesus Christ is making intercession for his people. And we know that all things, not some things, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say? What shall we then say to these things? What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who's even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What a tremendous promise to his people, to us, who are his children. For those of us who he has died for those of us who he shed his precious blood on the cruel and rugged cross of Calvary. Nothing, virtually nothing, can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Predestinated unto adoption to be heirs of the kingdom of God. How can we describe this wonder of grace? How could God, who loved us so much, send his dear Son to die for a wretch so unworthy, undone? How could God give such a precious gift to a sinner like you and me? It's the wonder of grace. It's all it can be. When we deserved hell in our wretched state, full of sin and dead and full of hate, against the one who died for you and me, how could this wonder of grace ever be? His wonder of grace speaks to our souls, knowing God's dear Son paid and controls our destiny. And yes, we gaze on his face and to continue to thank him for the wonder of grace. Well, who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. It is Christ that died. You know, there are a lot of mockers and scorners out there, are there not? Others may mock and scorn our confession, but Christ is our eternal possession. Purchased by his blood, dying on the cross, bearing all our sins, what a tremendous cost. So my answer to those who mock and scorn, go ahead and mock and scorn. They mocked and scorned my Savior. His perfect sacrifice has paid the ransom for me, and this will be my only final plea. He will say, "Come home, my child, I did this for you." And all my tears will be wiped away in the New Jerusalem, and all scorning and mocking will then be through. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? And it's all because of Christ, not because we did anything nice. It's all because of what he did. Why would Christ care for a sinner like you and me? Why would he love us before the foundation of the world? Why would he suffer and die on the cross? Why would he pay such a tremendous cost? Why would he promise to come again for you and me? Why would he send a comforter while we wait his return? Why would he love us forever and never from us turn? He did it because he loved you and me, not because of any good that I would do or you have done. He did it because the Father gave us to his Son. He did it because of an eternal pact between the three in one. This love we will never fully grasp or understand, but love answers the why. It was his eternal plan. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Nothing, virtually nothing, can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. May you have a great week today, and let us lay hold on this great promise that nothing shall separate us from the love of God. God bless.